All right, well, it is Pentecost Sunday, as I said, and we're just going to begin in the Word. And the story of Pentecost is found in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to read the first 21 verses. Acts 2, beginning in verse 1. It said, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting." Right, so you're at home right now, probably, or in your apartment. Just imagine a violent wind coming and filling the whole house right where you were sitting. Verse 3, "They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard in their own language. Each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues.' Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Now some, however, made fun of them and said they've had too much wine." As all this is happening, then there's a transition. Then Peter stands up. He stands up with the 11, raises his voice, and he addresses the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is really a continuation from last Sunday, and if you worshiped with us last week, or if you're familiar with the story of the Ascension, last Sunday was the Ascension. Jesus, in his last moment with the disciples, he ascended into heaven to be at the right hand of the Father. Before he ascended into heaven, though, Jesus promised his disciples, and he gave them this command. He said, "Wait for the gift that I am going to give you." And so from last Sunday to this Sunday, and for the disciples it was 10 days, but from last Sunday to this Sunday, what has happened is the disciples were faithful. The disciples were faithful. They did as Jesus asked them to do. So they went to Jerusalem and they waited. And let me read to you just for a second from Acts chapter 1. And this is what had happened before Jesus ascended. Acts 1 verse 3 says, "After his suffering," speaking of Jesus, "after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" So the disciples listened to Jesus and they waited for that promised gift of the Holy Spirit. So I don't want us to miss that right up front. I don't want us to rush past this important part, because the disciples were faithful to wait, to wait. I don't know about you, but I struggle with waiting, and I just, I don't know, I think it's ironic the things that happen to us. And again, if we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit and what God wants to speak to us, all day today, this is Friday for me, Friday, May 29th. I know it's Sunday for you probably, but this is Friday for me. But all morning, I've been waiting and having to wait. It started this morning. I had a friend pick me up. I dropped my vehicle off and had to wait a couple of minutes. No big deal. Thankful for her help in picking me up. Later then, at lunchtime, I went to make a deposit at my bank. And as I drove up to the bank, I noticed the drive-through line was 5 deep, right? 2 lines, 5 cars deep. So what did I do? I just drove right on by. And I came all the way back to the house to eat lunch. After eating lunch, I went back to the bank because I really needed to make this deposit. And when I got to the bank, it wasn't 5 deep, it was only 4 deep. So I finally gave in and I pulled in and put it in park. And I spent, I don't know, probably the next 15 minutes waiting in line to make a deposit. God has this way of teaching us different things. And then here this afternoon, it's Friday for me, right? Here this afternoon, I was prepared to preach, and what happened? Right as I was into the sanctuary, our lawn mowing crew showed up and they began to mow, and so I had to wait to preach this message, because if I was preaching with the mowers going, you might hear this drowning noise out in the background, right? It's the lawn mowers, and I don't want you to get lulled to sleep as I'm preaching. No, I'm just kidding. But God is teaching me all day the importance of being patient and waiting. So how are you doing with waiting? It's been 11 weeks now for our two churches since we've gathered together. So how have you been doing with your waiting? How's that going for you? The disciples here were told by Jesus to wait. And Jesus didn't give them a lot of insight. He said, wait a few days for the gift, but they had no calendar to follow. They didn't know exactly when that promise would happen. They just had to faithfully wait on the Lord, to wait on the Lord. I think we struggle so much with waiting, and some of you really want to get back and gather together as the church, and you've you feel like you've been waiting a long time, but man, just generally as a society, as a culture today, we struggle so much with waiting. We struggle so much with that. So here the disciples are waiting for that promised gift for Pentecost to come. And as you heard that story from Acts chapter 2, several things jump out, but the first thing that jumps out to many of us is the fact that they were waiting together in one place. And maybe that jumps out to you because the last 11 weeks, we've not been gathering together in one place. We've been very scattered. And so maybe as you heard the story from Acts 2, what stands out to you is the fact that they were gathered together in one place. While that is an important piece of this story, I think that there's something even more important about that statement, and it is not to put the emphasis on being gathered together in one place, but rather to put the emphasis on the fact that they were together. Together. The word says they were all together. I think that is the most significant piece, because I realize today that we're still scattered, right? We're not able to gather together in person yet. It'll happen soon. But I want us to know that by His Spirit, we can be all together. And it doesn't have to be in the same place, in the same building, but we can be all together today. The disciples here, they were all together. And as they were together in that one place, then they heard this sound, this interruption entered into that room. And it was something that certainly was out of the ordinary. This was no normal sound. It was sudden and unexpected, but it was from the Lord. Right, right. It wasn't something they created, some man-made noise, but this was from the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I would welcome that kind of distraction and interruption from the Lord, because that noise, that interruption was from heaven. Luke, as he's writing this, describes it as the sound of a blowing or violent wind, and it filled the whole room. Then after that sound came the sign. And again, as he's writing this description, he said it looked like flames or tongues of fire that seemed to separate, and it came to rest on each one of them. And here this morning, I don't have our screen down, and I didn't even create a background for the sermon today, because we have this wonderful stained glass that was put in the sanctuary here in the late 70s, and it is a depiction of Pentecost. You can see the dove descending and the flames of fire coming down, and Luke describes it as flames or tongues of fire coming down, separating and landing on each one of them. And I think that's a beautiful description. But it is also a powerful truth and reminder, it should be a reminder to us, that there is only one source, and that source is God alone. And yet Jesus sent the Holy Spirit for every person. One source separating and landing on each person. Not one person in that room was excluded. No one was left out. God's power and presence for all people. How did all this happen? Right? How did all of this happen? What led up to this moment? Well, we know. We've read it already in the text. It all happened because they were waiting together in one place. It happened because they listened to Jesus. It happened because they were waiting on God. And it happened because they were trusting that his word was true, that God would be faithful to his word. And it was an amazing moment, and the birth of the church as God poured his Holy Spirit out on this small group that was huddled together in the room. I don't know about you, but I want to see a move of God like that. I want to experience something that is unmistakable, that is undeniably from God. And I want to experience something like that so that every person that is present will know clearly that this is a move of God. I don't want to settle for just a taste or a glimpse or some moment that happened once upon a time in my life. I want to see a move of God like that today. And friends, I believe, and maybe I'm foolish, I don't think so, because I think this is from the Lord, but I believe that God can move like that today, right where you are, because we can be all together by his Spirit. This was a powerful move of God, friends. A powerful move of God, the kind of move that left no one out. Everyone was touched in that moment. Everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. No discrimination based on race or gender or age. No discrimination. Here, God revealing to us that he is for all people, for all creation. And after being filled with the Holy Spirit, how did the disciples respond? Right? How did that amazing move of God affect them? The word tells us they respond by speaking in tongues and other languages, right? This amazing moment of Pentecost was extended in and through the disciples as they began to speak as the Spirit enabled them. What those disciples experienced, better yet, what those disciples received, it could not be contained. Have you been touched by the Lord in such a way that you can't contain it, control it? The disciples, they couldn't help but speak out. They had to share. Do you know that feeling? Have you experienced that in your own life? Have you ever encountered the living God? Do you remember any point in your life when you just didn't care what other people thought? You couldn't help but talk about the Lord and what he had done in and through your life. The disciples here, they went from waiting together in one place to just blowing beyond the walls of that place where they gathered. And as they spoke, other people heard. Other people heard the word being spoken, and they came. They came to hear and to see. So this was very much brand new for the disciples, right? Within a matter of 50 days, they have seen Jesus put to death on the cross and resurrected, and then spent time with him, and then they saw him ascend into heaven, and then they're waiting together. All of this is brand new for them, and this probably wasn't their ministry plan, right? When Jesus told them to gather together and to wait, I wonder what that waiting was like. Like, did they spend their time just trying to come up with strategies? Right? Jesus is gone. I know we're supposed to wait on him, but let's come up with plan B. And if plan B doesn't work, maybe we need to come up with plan C. I don't know. I think their only strategy was to do what Jesus told them to do. And praise God, they were faithful to stay in that place, in unity, all together, in that place. And when the time came, God came through as he always does. So this amazing event, Pentecost, was God's plan. It was God's plan for the disciples. It's God's plan for us today. Jesus ascended into heaven so that he could send his Holy Spirit. Now today, all of us can experience the power of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. So what is it that God is wanting to do today? What is it that God is wanting to do today? I think that's a great question to ask. I think it is a good question. But so often, we seem to be the ones who are waiting on God, right? We ask God these questions like, how long, God, is this going to go on? How long am I going to continue to suffer? Lord, when are you going to come? Lord, when are you going to answer my prayers? And those are okay questions, right? We need to be authentic and we need to be honest with the Lord, but what if God is waiting on us? Right, that's a different kind of question. So what is God wanting to do today? It's a good question, but maybe in response to that question, I should ask another question. And that question is this: have we even asked God what he wants to do? Have we even asked God what he wants to do in and through his church? Or are we too busy asking the Lord for things that we think we need? I know we have our own ideas and our own plans, but when was the last time we asked God what he wants to do? If we would maybe pause for a moment and even now ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want to do today? In my life, in my family, in my home. Lord, what are you waiting to do? I just think that's such a great question for us. And if we'll be maybe willing to pause and ask the Lord that, I just wonder what he might want to say to us. I know God's not going to hide from us. He's not going to hide from our questions. He doesn't withhold himself. We know God is generous. He gives good gifts to his people. He pours himself out. That's what Pentecost is. He gives of himself. He sends his Holy Spirit. So what does God want to do? And are we willing to listen to his voice? Are we willing to obey whatever it is he might say to us? Because it's one thing to hear, and it's another thing to do, to respond, to obey. What if God tells us to wait? What if God tells us to wait? What if right now he's just wanting us to wait, to trust him? I know all of us have been in like a forced season of waiting, but what if God wants us to continue to wait? To wait on him. I don't know, you need to ask the Lord what he's wanting you to do. All I can say today is that waiting is worth the wait. Waiting is worth the wait. And today, again, is Friday for me, May 29, and this is a big day for my family. Today is my oldest daughter's 8th birthday, and put a picture up of Aubrey. This is her birthday picture that Katie took, and me and Aubrey has taught us a lot about waiting. 8 years ago today was the craziest day of our lives. 8 years ago today, my wife unexpectedly went into preterm labor, and it's a long story. I'm not gonna take time to share all of it. Just to summarize it, we woke up on our 5th day back in the United States, having lived in Southeast Europe as missionaries, only been back in the country for 5 days, living with my in-laws, and my wife wakes up in the night with really strong contractions, and so I go and wake up my in-laws in the middle of the night, and I ask to borrow their van because I didn't have a vehicle. We just moved back to the States. And anyways, that began a journey that day that took us to a couple of hospitals, and later that morning, Katie gave birth to twins at 24 weeks in one day. I mean, very delicate situation, and again, much longer story, but Aubrey being born 8 years ago today at less than a pound, just weighing 15 ounces, and I'll try and show you a picture of that as well, just to kind of give you an image. My goodness. That experience of twins being born so early, and the experience of losing our other daughter, Ellie, and then Aubrey spending 143 days in the NICU teaches us a lot. Definitely shaped us and taught us a lot about waiting. But I can say today that waiting is worth the wait. Opportunity to bring Aubrey home after 143 days was worth the wait, and I'd wait 143 days more. I'd wait 1,000 days. I'd wait as long as it would take to be able to bring her home again. So waiting is worth the wait, and even today we continue to wait. We don't know what her future will be like. I know that she's a blessing to us and always will be, but you know, is she gonna learn how to walk? Is she gonna eventually talk? I don't know, we have to wait. We have to wait. And so this is our story. This is my family's story. But all of you have experienced different things in your life that have taught you, oh man, that have taught you how to struggle, and you've had to wait for different things. Some of you have been praying for a loved one for years and years. Some of you have been praying for a spouse, a friend, and day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, you ask, is it gonna ever happen? Others of you have lived with a disease or a diagnosis, a debilitating situation that you've had to journey with for perhaps even your entire life. So you know what it is to wait. But what about waiting on the Lord? What about waiting on the Lord? Do we have the patience to wait on the Lord? Do we have enough faith to trust the Lord even when it doesn't make sense? Even when it seems impossible? Do we have enough faith to trust in the Lord, and the fact that he is who he said he is, that he is faithful? Do we trust him like that? I want to remind us today that miracles still happen. That miracles still happen. And I say that as a dad today who is celebrating the 8th birthday of our miracle daughter. And at the same time, I recognize that her identical twin sister only lived 8 days. And I say that today God is a miracle-working God, that God still answers prayer today. So I don't know what situation you're up against. I know what a lot of you are facing because you share it with me, and I'm praying for you, and I'm standing with you, and I'm interceding for you. But I want to say to you today that God is still a miracle-working God, that He still answers prayer today. I want to let you know that God still wants to move in and through His church today. So where are the wise and faithful servants, right? We talked about that in the last few weeks. Where are the wise and faithful servants? Where are the wise and faithful ones? God is looking for His people who are willing to submit themselves, to surrender their lives, to pour themselves out for His name's sake. The question is, are we ready? Are we ready? You know, the disciples, they were faithful to listen to Jesus' words. They were faithful to gather in that place, but were they ready? Were they ready for that gift, right? They had no idea exactly what it would be like. Jesus told them it was coming. He didn't say when. He said it's coming. Wait for it. But they didn't know exactly what it would be like. So were they ready? They were ready. They were ready because they were faithfully waiting. So the question is, are you ready today? Are you ready today? And here's how you can gauge whether or not you're ready. You can just follow this pattern from these disciples and ask yourself these questions. Are you listening to the words of Jesus? Right? Am I listening to the words of Jesus? Am I willing to wait if God tells me to wait? Am I ready to receive whatever God wants to give? And am I ready to share whatever it is that God gives? You see, at Pentecost, the crowds came because they heard the word being spoken in their own language, in their own language. But it wasn't just their own language that drew them. It wasn't just the fact that they heard Spanish being spoken or English being spoken. No, that's not what drew them. It was the word that was being spoken, because the disciples, being empowered now by the Holy Spirit, were speaking about the wondrous things of God, the wonderful things that God had done. So certainly, we must be faithful to speak about the wonderful things that God has done, but we also need to speak in a way that is easily understood. But most importantly, the words that we speak must be about our amazing God. That is the message that we have been given. This is our shared story, the good news that Jesus is Lord. This is the language of the gospel. It's the reality of the kingdom, that King Jesus has come and He is for every person. So are you ready to speak that truth? That truth. And when you speak the truth, it is not about you, and it's not about me, but it's about Him. And there is power in the truth of the gospel. There is power for those words to be spoken out, and for those ears who have never yet even heard the name of Jesus, there is power in the good news. When those words are spoken and received, there is power to transform as the Holy Spirit is present to cut open the hearts of all who would hear, because they are God's words, not our words. So we've been given this task. We've been given this task to live into the reality of His word, but we've also been given the responsibility to share that word, speaking truth and life and pointing everyone to King Jesus. So as the crowd gathered that day at Pentecost, they begin to ask each other, what does this mean? What does this mean? But not everyone was with them. Some of them missed what God was doing. Some of them missed what God was saying in that moment. Instead, they made fun of them and accused them of being drunk and having too much wine. In the midst of that beautiful moment, in the midst of that beautiful movement of God. It was Peter who steps forward, standing in unity with the other 11 disciples. He steps forward and he begins to point the crowd to God's word. And it's Peter, now filled with the Holy Spirit, who stands up to speak. His goal was to bring clarity to the situation. His goal was to bring clarity and understanding, as that should be our goal as well. Anytime we speak his word, oh my goodness, we need his Holy Spirit, but we should speak with clarity, striving to be understood. But we don't speak until we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. What Peter then goes on to share was straight from the Word of God. He quotes the prophet Joel, and he'd been given this understanding from the Lord. And as he begins to share from Joel, he lays out for them what is happening. He points back so that they would understand that they are experiencing what God had promised, what God had said would happen. They were living it in that moment. Listen, there's going to be confusion. There's going to be confusion. Anytime that we gather together and every time the word goes out, even when we're scattered, there may be confusion, but that doesn't need to distract us from our calling, our responsibility that we are to live into the reality of his word, and that responsibility we have to continue to preach and proclaim the good news that Jesus is Lord. So we don't get distracted by those who are confused, who misunderstand. Some people will find it hard to believe that God's word is true, but that doesn't knock us off. That doesn't distract us from our calling. No, that should just fuel us even more to be even more faithful in pursuing what God is calling us to. The reality for us is that we can be empowered by the Holy Spirit. The truth today is that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but we must remain faithful. So this is our pattern. This is the pattern that we see at Pentecost. It's a pattern of listening and waiting and trusting and receiving and then going and then giving. This is the pattern of our lives. Listening, waiting, trusting, receiving, going and giving. But friends, if I'm honest with you, I think waiting is the hardest part, because it's in the waiting that we begin to wonder and we begin to question, and it's in the waiting so often that doubts begin to fill our minds. And if we're not careful, it's in the waiting that we can become discouraged and even begin to listen to other voices that clearly are not from the Lord. So we must be faithful. Lawrence Wood once said, what was the difference between the disciples before and after the Pentecost? Right? What is it that made the difference in the lives of the disciples? Because clearly they had changed. They went from this small group huddled together in a room to faithfully proclaiming in all of these languages a miracle of God. So what was it that made the difference? I like what John Wesley says. John Wesley said it was the promise of the Father to bestow the sanctifying Spirit upon his disciples. It's his promise to us. We need his sanctifying Spirit, friends. But Pentecost is just the beginning. We love this story and we love everything that happened in that moment, but it's just the beginning. It's not something that happened once upon a time. It is something that God is continually doing, continually offering to pour out his Spirit. So I don't know about you, but that encourages me to know that the source of life is unending. It's continually, and not only does he want to offer this gift to us one time, but he wants to continually fill us to overflowing with this Holy Spirit. That should encourage us today. That should excite us and get us passionate. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go back to ordinary. I want to move forward in faith. I want to be filled with his Spirit. I want my heart to be on fire for God. I want to partner with what God is doing. because he's moving in his church, friends. This is his plan, right? Jesus ascended into heaven so that he could send his Holy Spirit. This is his plan. You are his plan. And you're the hope. The hope as you're faithful to follow the Lord. God is transforming the earth with the power of heaven. We need fresh wind and fresh fire. That wonderful picture of Pentecost, that fresh wind and fresh fire, symbols of power and purity. And my friends, my goodness, we need power and purity in the church, but that power is only from the Lord. It's not something that is acquired. It's something that is received as a gift. Received as a gift, and we know that it is a gift to us. Jesus himself said in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke 11:13, Jesus says these words. He says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Friends, God longs to give us the Holy Spirit, and all we have to do is ask. I don't know if you've ever been told that, but all you have to do is ask him, because he wants to pour out his Holy Spirit. He is looking for hungry people who want more of the Lord, and praise God, he is willing to give us more. So all it takes is one moment of surrender, and it changes everything for you. It changes everything. One moment and your life can be changed. One moment and the Holy Spirit can come and cleanse you with sanctifying purity and power so that you don't have to live in the struggle of sin. God can cleanse the sin nature that we're all born with. God can enter in, and by his Holy Spirit power, he can cleanse you of all unrighteousness so that you can live in his righteousness. And friends, it's an amazing experience, but it's not just for us to receive. It is so that we can be sent out, so that we can go and that we can give hope to others. All we have to do is ask, friends. So I want us to close in prayer, and then Joan's going to close our service with a beautiful song. But I want us to close in prayer. And if you've never asked the Lord, but maybe if you've asked him, maybe this is the day to ask again, because he is waiting for us. He wants us to pursue him, and he has his Holy Spirit. So let us enter into prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. I thank you for Pentecost. I thank you, Father, for those who are willing to wait. And I know right now, Lord, so many are waiting. And I'm one, Lord, I am waiting. And in this season of waiting, Lord, you are just refining and doing so many things in my own heart and life, Lord. And I just repent of any unrighteousness, Lord. I too am asking for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, Father. Fresh wind and fresh fire. Lord, that's what I need in my life. That's what the church needs, is fresh wind and fresh fire, Lord. Fresh power and purity so that we can be faithful, Lord. Faithful as we go out, Lord. The Lord, oh my goodness, the world needs a faithful and pure, spotless bride, Lord. Help us to be that, Lord. Right now, Lord, as we're praying together, Lord, I just pray that each one of us would be faithful in this moment, Lord, to pursue what you would have for us. Maybe we need to ask that question, Lord, what is it that you're wanting to do today? Maybe that's the question you put on our hearts, Lord. Whatever it is, Lord, whatever you're going to speak into our individual lives, but whatever you're speaking collectively into your church, Lord, give us ears to hear that word. Give us ears to hear, but also, Father, give us your presence so that we can faithfully hear and respond to that word, Lord, as we're sent out, Lord. Lord, I know we've got two more Sundays before we gather in our churches here in Marshalltown and Ames, and I pray, Lord, that you would do everything that is needed in our lives so that when we gather again, oh my goodness, that it would just be a wonderful celebration service as we worship you in those moments. So Lord, we're not waiting till we gather. We're entering in this moment, this day, to what you have for us. Do that work, Lord. Do that work in our lives. We receive it in Jesus' name. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.